actions planned that I'm aware of. But I know that as Kaiser is very publicly right now, those workers are doing a strike authorization vote. So I, for one, will be out if they vote to strike and they go through with it. I, for one, will be out there with them and supporting them on the strike line. And your listeners should do the same. It is a great encouragement to striking workers to see the community come up and talk to them and support them. By, just even showing up and hanging out with them is a show of support. Want to bake cookies? Give them cookies. Do it. Any positive engagement from the community for workers that are facing what is quite frankly a very frightening prospect to go out on that strike line, that'll help them and it helps us.
Do you have any final words, either Malia or Alistair, for our listeners about your struggle?
We're out there fighting not only for our working conditions, we're at the bargaining table right now, but there's no, who knows where we'll be at in 3 weeks. But we're out there fighting for our working conditions, but we're also fighting for the future of laboratory medicine in this region and in this state. Oregon and Southwest Washington, we've had a long history of a strong labor movement, but also very, very good healthcare, right? There's a lot of gaps in our system, but the quality of care that laboratorians in this region have provided is excellent. And we want to make sure that that continues into the future. So we're fighting not just for ourselves, but for the healthcare in this region and for this community. And just know that every time you go to the doctor, about 90% of medical decisions are based on laboratory testing. So the quality of care that we can provide improves the quality of care throughout the entire health system.
Great. Well, that wraps it up for this evening's show. You've been listening to Malia Paisley and Alistair Brister Smith, LabCorp workers and members of the Oregon Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. I'm Jamie Partridge with my co-host Laura Wadlin. This is Labor Radio, this Monday and every Monday at 6 p.m. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
Hi, I'm David Brower, David R. Brower, and I add the R because there are 100 other David Browers in the United States, and that keeps me separate from most of them. I like the direction you're going in, KBOO, Portland, and I wish you had a lot more company.
What does the average KBOO listener think of self-help radio?
This is so hard and complicated.
I have no idea what it is.
What's this old-time music?
I feel so
It seems kind of worthless.
Why does it have to make so much noise?
It sounds very hipster.
That's the worst thing.
Look at how humanity has used their intellect.
Self-Help Radio, a different theme explored with music and talk every week. Tuesdays, midnight to 3 a.m. on KBOO Portland.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli, and today we're here with some of my favorite people, Talilo Marfil and Mike Crenshaw. How you guys doing today?
Doing well. Magandang umaga. Good morning.
Right on, man. Well, I'm very excited to have you guys on. Both of you guys have, some of our listeners are very aware of, amazing stories about life and all the things that you guys have been doing, all this great work for many years as well, and your art and your activism and your music, and maybe some of that we won't get to today per se, so we're definitely going to have maybe a part two on this one. But if you guys would mind kind of introduce yourselves and sort of how you got kind of involved, and then we talk about the new song in a minute.
Yeah, my name is Talilo Marfil. I'm an executive director of an organization called Peer Tribe Foundation, and I do a lot of programming in Portland. We have a program called Ascending Flow in East Portland, providing opportunities for creative expression for youth to express themselves, learn some life skills, get some mentorship, and hopefully prevent some of these kids from ending up in the system like a lot of us have. I'm also a cultural hip hop artist. A lot of my music and my creation comes from struggle, comes from growing up in poverty and being an immigrant, and seeing that the cultural representation that I put in my music is almost a stance in resistance over some dope beats. And that's who I am and what I do.
Hey guys, my name is Mike Crenshaw. Good to see you both.
Part of me, my neighbor is actually blowing his lawn, so you might be picking up some of that in the background. I apologize for that. Yeah, I'm a hip hop MC and spoken word artist, a cultural activist, and an educator, a writer, media producer. I do a lot of work with cultural expression, but my primary medium as an artist has been hip hop music and spoken word for most of my life at this point, over 30 years. And I've been, you know, working in Portland in schools as a teaching artist for a few decades, currently at Alliance High School for the Multiple Pathway for Graduations program. Also the executive director of a art and culture nonprofit called Education Without Borders. And we support art, cultural activism, and education all over the world. Currently we're doing a couple of projects in East Africa, Burundi and Tanzania to be specific. And been working with, you know, as a volunteer coming in and doing work in McLaren with Keys Beats Bars. And we'll probably be going in down on Elong at some point, working with the young people who are incarcerated. And Talilo and I have been, you know, collaborating on this recording project recently. So
yeah, so let's talk about the project a little bit. So at some point in fall 2024, then you guys, as you continue to go in to, you know, visit this youth correctional facility in Woodburn, Oregon, at McLaren, started a certain series to put together a song, basically, was like the main intention. Can you talk about how that whole process kind of came to be, and what kind of things does it take? Because there's definitely a lot of challenges along the way working with, you know, in the system that way too.
Yeah. So I think in 2023, I received a grant from Arts for Justice Foundation to create a project called Pipeline. And in 2016, I went into Wapato Jail with a couple of youth I was mentoring, and we created a short film about how youth can end up in prison from the way they discipline in school, how that connects to youth ending up in prison, ending up incarcerated. So I mentored some youth, put a camera in their hands. We got access to Wapato Jail. They helped create the skit, the script, acted in it. And while I was in the jail, I also filmed a music video that told of my own experience as someone who's been formerly incarcerated and in and out of jail as a youth. So in 2016, I've been sitting on this project for a long time. I won a grant in 2023 to finish the project. And I finished the song that many years later, and I collaborated with Keys Beats Bars to go into McLaren and show the music video to the youth and inspire them to create their own song based off that project. And I hit up my Kuya Mike. Kuya means big brother in Tagalog. He's someone that I look up to greatly in Portland for his activism and in his education, and him being an MC, someone who has held it down, and someone that I aspire to be like when I become a Kuya to these. I'm actually a Kuya to a lot of kids right now, but when I get a little older, you feel me? He's someone that I aspire to, and I reached out to him to help me with this project and organized it with Adam, and we went through the hoops to get our volunteer pass, which took a long time. For anybody that wants to do this work within the system, it's a lot of red tape and jumping through hoops and yes, I'll do this and yes, I'll do that, just so that you can get into the facility. But me and Mike did all that stuff and got up in there and started working with the youth and taught them how to lay down some bars. Some of them already had those experiences, but we helped guide what they already had, you know what I mean? Some of them have never recorded before or have limited experience in recording, so we spent a lot of time getting to know the young cats there and help them put their pen to the pad and get on the mic.
Yeah, it's I really enjoyed working with the young men and getting to know them. There's always a process of people getting familiar with each other and coming to trust each other. And so that's part of what happens when you go in there. I think a lot of these guys have dealt with people that they haven't been able to trust, you know, and been through various kinds of traumas and situations that has taught them to keep their guard up. But being that most of them have an interest in hip hop and some of them are actually really dope MCs, it kind of creates an opening for us to get in there and kind of level the playing field. It's important work. Yeah.
So can you guys talk a little bit about, kind of the process there? Because like you said, I mean, there's the whole this whole process of even just establishing the group itself. And then, of course, there's the whole artistic process. Can you just talk about how kind of those interlocking parts, like how they work? You know, it started with the video, and then we got, kind of writing a song, and you have to get a beat and go from there. What does that look like?
Yeah, even before getting into the facility, me and Mike met to develop curriculum and develop the flow of how the groups would be, what would we do in on the first group, and what was the end goal of the project. So getting in there and telling our stories, showing some of our successes, and then having deeper conversations about what is the school to prison pipeline? Why is it even relevant? Why are you here today in the system, and what message would you want to say to the world if they had an opportunity to listen to you and you had an opportunity to let them hear you? I think that's the first step, is developing the curriculum. Also, me and Mike, we have this saying in my culture called Kapwa, and it's the combination of self-love with the love of others. And I think us doing our internal work before we even got into the facility, sticking to our passions, sticking to our creativity, knowing our whys and why we do this, is important for us to even be in those facilities. So I think when cats that come in from the outside try to speak and connect with youth, you got to come in real and do the internal work and show them that it's possible. So after developing the curriculum and developing the connection, it almost becomes a flow from there. And if there's any resistance, the respect is already established so that we can work through those things to get to the end goal of creating the song.
That's an important point. I think like authenticity is key. These guys see through people's BS. But hip hop has been a medium in terms of a cultural practice as well as a creative practice that encourages authenticity. I feel, I stress this when I'm in classrooms. Hip hop is a place where you'll be held accountable if you're fake, and the institutions where people are incarcerated is the same way. And so when people see you being authentic and can tell that you're authentic, that becomes the jump off, if you will, from which we go forward. So like a lot of these guys can already rap really well because they've grown up listening to hip hop, and because they have time to reflect, they're actually having time to write some really powerful lyricism. I think one of the critical points, though, that Tolilo and I often found ourselves having to reinforce, and then we were able to create an understanding and some agreements with the guys, which helped produce the best possible outcome with the track, is that we want people to be themselves, but we also, it's tricky, we want people to not just talk about the same type of thing that led to them being where they're at. And there's a way to do both, and so that was some of the more, I guess, profound work, is to be like, how do you talk about what you really been through, but how do you talk about it in a way that's not glorifying it or encouraging others to do the same?
When we look at the roots of hip hop and what you guys are doing and have been doing, there's that whole element of the critical thinking that you're talking about, Mike. So can we talk a little bit more about that and how that relates to like the project with the writing process and also in context of the lyrics that, we'll be hearing, in a few minutes when we listen to the track.
Yeah, the critical thinking element, the fifth element of hip hop being knowledge and the self-awareness. And also there's almost like a tribalism to it too, where eldership is a part of that connection, that folks that have been through it pass on the torch and help the younger generation critically think about why these barriers are here, why are we struggling in the first place as a community. And unfortunately, throughout time and even now, history is, rewritten. They hide our true history. And I think the more that we can encourage the younger generation to question what they read, question what they're told, the more that we can get to a common understanding that and a self-awareness of our past and where we're heading, And an example I'd like to give is like, when I was growing up, I grew up around a lot of gang culture, I grew up around a lot of poverty. All I knew was that at one point, you know? And then when I got incarcerated, I started meeting people that taught me about, you know, the history of America, the history of the Philippines, why I'm here. I started questioning, like, why I even came to the States. And I started realizing that a lot of folks that get involved with gangs or any criminalistic thing is because we're disconnected from that history, that these struggles that we face and the want to be a part of a tribe, it wouldn't be there in the first place if it wasn't because of colonialism and the impacts of displacement and the impacts of a forgotten history. So I think moving in that light and helping people understand that there's other things at play, that there's a bigger enemy at play than each other, is really important, to especially when talking to youth that are incarcerated, because that's all they know is this unit has this clique over here, or this set is over here, you know what I mean? Or it becomes real racial sometimes, not just Bloods, Crips, Sureños, Norteños. It gets really racial sometimes, and a lot of division is within the system. But yeah, man, I think at the end of the day, we're all human and we're trying to figure it out, you know? And yeah, that critical piece element is knowledge. I think us sharing that is really important and having the space to talk about.
I would like to, you know, reflect on the fact that, you know, I said there's this critical conversation about let's be authentic, but let's figure out how to reflect and not just reinforce the same kind of decisions that got you here. But when I say that, it's not coming from a place of blaming the individual. You know, that knowledge of self and that critical thinking and that reflection is talking about, let's think about the conditions that you actually were born into, did not choose, and don't have control over, that influence the choices that we make in society. Especially as young men, there's a lot of programming around masculinity. And I think to touch on the cultural piece, and I'm not trying to speak for you, Tolilo, but some of the work that Tolilo makes central in his approach is this understanding of indigeneity that predates the colonial construct. And, you know, looking at the fact that we have histories that go back, our people have histories that go back, and there were situations that we were forced to endure that created the reality that for most of us, our first language is English or Spanish. These are colonial languages. And what are the historic epics of violence, of genocide, of exploitation and extraction that our people have endured and survived to wind up in these situations where we feel like the only choices we have are ones that wind up putting us in these institutions, right? And so with young men specifically, I think there's an attraction to the gangster lifestyle. But we need to understand, what are the parallels between being a gangster and being a warrior? What are the aspects of being a warrior and the rites of passage that our people have historically gone through, traditionally gone through, that have to do with growth, development, defending your community, protecting each other, protecting your people, that aren't necessarily always about violence, that aren't necessarily always about fighting?
Before we kind of cue up the track in a few minutes, let's talk a little bit more about, in relationship to all this knowledge, how that coalesced into the lyrics that you guys put together, and also the music. Where did the music come from, and how does that kind of work out in the fold of things?
I'll just say briefly, you got to find a beat that these guys want to mess with.
Yep, we went through a couple beats. They all had to choose amongst each other, you know, like, me and Mike, we just helped them find some beats to give them some options, but they had to really decide together. And it took a little bit of time, but once they did, it started flowing, you know? I think that's important that they're the ones that really decide how the track comes about and the direction it's going, with our guidance, of course, you know? I want to circle back to that. That was one of the hard things, is like really leaning into being authentic with yourself. And how do you do it in a way where it doesn't continue the cycle, you know? And I think that can be difficult for a lot of people, especially when you're locked up and that's all you know, you know? So the skill, and this comes with being an MC, is how do you talk about these things in a more positive light? And how do you honor the legacy of hip hop and how it was created in the first place, which was essentially, it came out of struggle, was birthed out of giving a voice to the voiceless, and uplifting our communities, and like Mike was saying, is being a warrior, and the rites of passage in hip hop could look a little different than getting jumped into a gang, but there are similarities to gaining your badges of honor and giving back to your community in a positive way. So I think for a lot of the youth that created that song, it was a rites of passage for them, in a sense. You know, it was really hard for some of them to write those lyrics, and it was beautiful to see the process from going to choosing the beat to even having some of the youth mentor the other youth in the program, helping them get to the point where they could believe, start to believe they could do it. You know. So you're going to hear in the song, there's no ceilings. You're going to hear a lot of reflection in the song about past mistakes and forgiveness and redemption. And also, I think there's a sense of, for those that don't know what it's like to be locked up or don't really understand, there's a lot of fear around it. Fear that if a lot of these cats are released, that they'll commit the same crimes and hurt more of the community. But I think what you'll hear when you listen to it is that it could have been any of us, you know, growing up in the right situations and in certain environments, that it could have been you in there, and we're all feeling it. We all have feelings and we all have potential to, I don't know, man, feel something, you know, and do something with that.
Well, I think the listeners are going to feel something here in a sec when we put the track on. And so let's take a few minutes to check that out, and we can reflect afterwards. This is No Ceilings, co-produced by Talilo Marfil, Mike Crenshaw, a couple of the guys at McLaren Youth Correctional Facility in Woodburn, Oregon. And here we go, No Ceilings.
Nobody tell me something came from nothing, and seeing my mama struggling. The first of it in my class that was hustling. Came from the corner where circumstances are disgusting. Reminiscing on my granny, I'm missing her touch and loving. Look, but it made me streets many. I'm a product of Portland, a trench baby. Granny reciting Psalms and Romans, I live crazy. I'm trying to listen, I'm hoping it still saved me. Yeah. But could you blame me for it? If I confess all my sins, would they hate me for it? I can't ignore what I endured, they probably hate me for it. I'm traumatized, I lost my brother to a fatal war. I'm traumatized, I lost my brother to the trenches. I still listen, I'm hoping now I'm forgiven. I talk to God to polish up on my image. Who am I kidding? I'm tempted to keep sinning, ayy. I made mistakes, I'm a man, I'm trying to change. Hereditary, hard-headed, they said daddy was the same. My little cousin tell me how he wanna bang. Just look at me and show them how just far I came. Look, I came from robbing and shooting and drug dealing to graduating and motivating my siblings. I talk to God, I've been working on my healing. I've been practicing what I preach and gotta tap in with my feelings. Look, hey, you gotta tap in with them feelings. Voice of the youth, you gotta tap in with them children. I know it's hard, but Lord, brother, stay resilient. We in the system, that don't gotta be us selling up.
I'm from the pit, real struggling, I was all alone. Ay, I was politicking about my little bro. I skipped school, I was never on the honor roll. We was just trying to chase a check, I was hella broke. Sorry for the wait, 12 sent me up the road. I'm trying to find a better way when I make it home. I do it all for pot, free my big bro. You ain't lost no clothes, better what you spending for. You ain't never took a trip, who you tripping on? And how you get a bag and you ain't help y'all, bro? I was taught y'all brother for all you supposed to pick him up. My brother gone right now, I gotta live it up. Late nights, not at home, I was in the cast. 16 fighting demons from the things I done. I just pray that when I die, they know it's all love. It was times I show love and they ain't show me none.
I came from robbing and shooting and drug dealing to graduating and motivating my siblings. I talk to God, I've been working on my healing. I've been practicing what I preach and gotta tap in with my feelings. Look, hey, you gotta tap in with them feelings. Voice of the youth, you gotta tap in with them children. I know it's hard, but Lord, brother, stay resilient. We in the system, that don't gotta be your ceiling, though.
To start this off, yeah, I got my limitations. Drop the bodies of my thoughts deep down inside the basement. I can hear the cops, but I don't see them chasing. Open up my eyes, it was just my brain racing. Only once, now I'm back in the making. Yeah, I only live once, the world's mine for the taking. Don't have a mistake once and say it's devastation. Instead, come back twice and hit it till it's breaking down. I'm sorry, that's just what I learned. Do not give respect that they haven't earned. The cycle sucked. Just more bridges to burn. My stomach churned, cause I'm stressed out, anxious and concerned. Almost failed, was trying to play it cool. Going off the rails, couldn't sit still in a stool. Now I had time to think,
I'd even say I grew, but that's my life, so don't play me for a fool.
I came from robbing and shooting and drug dealing, to graduating and motivating my siblings. I talk to God, I've been working on my healing. I've been practicing what I preach and gotta tap in with my feelings. Look, hey, you gotta tap in with them feelings. Voice of the youth, you gotta tap in with them children. I know it's hard, but Lord, brother, stay resilient. We in the system, that don't gotta be your ceiling, though.
That was No Ceilings, co-produced by Toledo Marfil, Mike Crenshaw, and a couple of the guys at McLaren Youth Correctional Facility in Woodburn, Oregon. This was a track that was put together in fall 2024, and this is also available online, pretty much on most, all of any platforms, really. And again, the title is No Ceilings, and it's co-produced also with Keys Beats Bars, so if people look up Keys Beats Bars, and that's where the track will show up. So now that you guys have completed this project, of course, this isn't, you know, the end or anything, but yeah, how do you guys feel about it, and how does it relate to, you know, some of the lyrics that came out of it? We also didn't talk about the title exactly. I mean, Toledo, you kind of touched on that, but maybe a little bit more about the title too, and kind of what the whole thing means.
Lyrically, I feel as a listener should be able to, you know, discern as well. It's powerful work. It's a lot of humility and a lot of strength. I would even say guidance. When I listen to that song, I hear guidance and mentorship. I feel like the brothers are talking to their younger selves, and I feel like they're talking to people who might be following in their footsteps. So there's a realness to it that you're not going to get from pop music.
I think the lyrics are really powerful. I was really proud to see it come to fruition, and to see how the youth were mentoring each other and helping each other come out with these lyrics, you know. And I think that's the most beautiful thing about being an educator and putting our time and our work into, you know, guiding the youth to better pathways and to help them realize their own light, to watch it happen in person, you know. And when things start clicking for them and you start seeing the positivity just kind of ripple, and it doesn't always look pretty, you know. Sometimes tears get dropped, and in the lyrics you can see that there's a lot of struggle and a lot of pain and a lot of longing for a better future. And as someone who has been incarcerated before, you know, I was told that I wouldn't make it, and most of the people that I got out with didn't make it, you know, from funerals to overdose to returning back to prison. I think that it can almost be, it almost feels like there's no hope. So I think it's important, not just for me and Mike to step into these roles and go back inside, but for anybody doing the work, that we're planting seeds and we're disrupting the system by helping our youth create lyrics like these, you know. So shout out to the young man there that fought to put these lyrics out there. You know, my prayers are with them to continue this path, especially when they get out, because that's when the real battle starts. You know, a lot of people think the battle happens in jail, but it's really when you get out that it becomes a little bit more difficult, and you really get tested. So No Ceilings, though, you know what I mean? That's the thing. They say you can't go past this. This is what you're meant for. Even if you get out and you live a, you know, normal life, you still only get this far. But I think for youth that are incarcerated, that are at the bottom of the bottom, that are at their lowest point in life, for them to say No Ceilings from that situation, from that dark cell, it gives me hope, and I'm not even locked up no more. You know what I mean?
If I can, you know, talk about in a personal way some of the things that I get out of doing this work, it's not easy work to do. Like, it's not easy to go into a prison. After being locked up a few times as a youth, you know, I made a decision that I was never going to put myself in a position. And, you know, give thanks to the Most High, because you don't always have control over those situations that happen in life. But, you know, the times that I get to go back to the institutions, it's on a voluntary basis, not because I lost control or because of something happened that was out of my control. And I say that to say there's a lot of transformative power in watching people who have lost their own freedom reclaiming their own dreams. and visualizing a future that's better than anything they've been through, and putting that into creative expression, it gives me hope too. And the one of the most powerful things that happens from doing this work is when you run into one of these young people later and they're a little bit older and they followed and pursued their passion.
Yeah, that's the best character.
And they sometimes you don't even recognize them because they look different. And they thank you for playing a role in that. That's real powerful.
Yeah, like I was barely making my light bill, man, when I was coming to McLaren, dog. And then to see you do your thing and you got a job and you're going after your goals. And actually, you know, I've seen cats like that where, you know, I actually hired them. I hired them to mentor the youth in my, and the way I met them was at a party with a blue rag on me and, you know, I'm lit, you know what I mean? So to see youth, like people go from these situations and then and now they're mentoring folks and going after their dreams and being a positive light in their communities, it's the best, man.
Well, thank you guys very much for all your work for this great track. People should check out No Ceilings. Again, this is online. Look up Keys, Beats, Bars, and you can find this track, No Ceilings. And you've been listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. And special thanks to our amazing guests and Prison Pipeline Collective member Karen James for post-production. Free them all.
Free them all, y'all.
No Ceilings!
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from Chasing Chimeras, the lure of deceptive climate solutions, a documentary directed by Barbara Bernstein about climate justice.